fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I'm going to continue today to talk about the great story in Acts chapter 10 of the conversion of Cornelius and the gospel going to the Gentiles. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. Monday and Tuesday's programs are there. You can listen to them right on your computer, download them, and listen to them on your iPod whenever it's convenient for you. And while you're there, go ahead and browse the website. It's relatively new. We've got it up and running. There's a lot of really wonderful stuff there, a lot of free stuff. You know, a lot of our booklets, articles that we've written, our newsletters, Crossing the Gold television shows, The Choices We Face television programs, Sister Anne's wonderful radio program, Food for the Journey, and Fire on the Earth are there as well. Go ahead and browse it. There's a lot there we want to put on to be able to encourage your brothers and sisters who are walking in the faith, or maybe you're tuning in today and the program is new to you, Fire on the Earth. You're hearing it for the first time. This is a program which just each day gather with friends all around the country who are tuned into the program to talk about really the person of Jesus and his church and the mission of the Catholic Church and the wonderful gift of knowing Jesus Christ and what it means to follow him. And I hope you can stay tuned. You could also go to our website, as I mentioned, at renewalministries.net to find out more about our work and our ministry. So I ended yesterday, verse 23 of chapter 10, the Acts of the Apostles. And what unfolded so far in the beginning of that chapter was you see first Cornelius. He lived in Caesarea, and he was a Roman soldier, a centurion. He was responsible for 100 soldiers. He's part of what's called the Italian cohort. And the writer of Acts, Luke, said that he was a devout man who feared God with all of his household. He gave alms liberally to the poor, to people who needed it, and he prayed constantly. How about that? He was a pagan, in the old sense of the term, a man who had his heart turned toward God as he knew and understood God. And an angel appears to him while he's in prayer and said that God has heard his prayers and his offering, and that God wanted to send him to see this man, Peter, meaning Saint Peter, who was in Joppa staying at the house of a friend named Simon the tanner, who had a house right on the shoreline of the sea. So Cornelius sends his men to travel to go get Peter. And then the next day, Peter's in prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And as he's in prayer on the roof of his friend's house, he goes into a trance. And in the trance, he gets a picture, a vision of a big sheet coming down from heaven, the four corners of the sheet. And in the sheet are all kinds of animals and reptiles. And a voice speaks to Peter and says, "Take and eat, kill and eat." And what he's referring to and what Peter's seeing are some animals and reptiles that, according to Jewish law, were unclean and that a Jew was not supposed to eat. So Peter's first reaction was, "But this can't be, Lord, because I've never eaten food that's uncommon or unclean." And the Lord speaks to Peter and said, "Peter, don't call unclean what God calls clean." And so what's happening is the Holy Spirit is giving Peter a revelation. He's teaching and leading Peter and helping Peter understand now it's time for the gospel to go to the Gentiles. But Peter doesn't fully know it here at this moment. And as he's on the roof coming out of this trance, the three men sent by the soldier Cornelius to find Peter are standing at the gate of the house of Simon the tanner. And they're asking if this is where Peter lives, and they're invited in. They tell Peter this. They say, "Cornelius, a centurion, who is an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by all the whole Jewish nation," which is very interesting, "was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you had to say." So then Peter hears them and invites these three soldiers in to have table fellowship, to have a meal, which is the first big step, because that itself was not lawful. It was not a practice Jews would do. They were not supposed to have table fellowship with non-Jews, with Gentiles. So it goes on. So they spent the night. The next day he rose and went off with them. And some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. On the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his kinsmen and his close friends, so his whole extended family. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Isn't that interesting? Think about, put yourself right there, maybe in the cohort with Peter, those who are traveling with Peter, the three soldiers, the three that Cornelius had sent, and then friends of Peter's. So you travel overnight, the next day you get to this household, and there's dozens of people present. And this prominent soldier, who is a man of tremendous respect, that people respect, sees Peter, and he knows, all Cornelius knows, is that something spiritually significant is happening. He does not yet know God's full plan of salvation. He doesn't even know who Peter is, but he's totally impressed with Peter before he even met Peter, because the angel came to him and said, go get this man, he has a message for you. So his first response, and he does it out of ignorance in the good sense, he falls down to his knees at Peter's feet, and he worshiped him as some kind of god. That's not uncommon for pagans at that time. They believed in all kinds of gods. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I too am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered, and he said to them, and now here we see, this is why the Holy Spirit, why Jesus brought them together, to speak this message, to tell them about Jesus. Friends, this is how the gospel extends throughout the world, and it's meant to happen today just like it happened then. So let's tune in, and let's listen closely to the things that Peter says to see what he emphasized and what he most wanted them to hear and how the Holy Spirit inspired him to speak. In verse 28, and he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So this is Peter explaining what God has been revealing to him, saying, you guys all know that our ritual laws, our dietary laws, command us never to have table fellowship with a non-Jew or to have close fellowship, to enter their house or to have them come into my house. But God has spoken to me, and he said, I should not call unclean what God is calling clean. So Peter's making that transition, and he's beginning to understand what God was speaking to him. He said, so when I sent for you, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was keeping the ninth hour of prayer in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright apparel, saying, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the seaside. So I sent to you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here present in the sight of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Wonderful. Tremendous picture. So here's this really dramatic moment in the history of Christianity and the extension of the gospel in the world. The gospel going from the household of the people of Israel, the chosen people, now extended as it was promised through the prophetic history of the people of Israel, that the Messiah of the Jews would be the light to the nations. That is, the light to the non-Jewish world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He follows me will not walk in darkness. The person of Jesus reveals to the entire world who we are, why we're here, where we've come from, what's the purpose of our life, who is God, what is our condition before God, how can we live in relationship with God, how can we be saved ultimately. Verse 34, and Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. So Peter's acknowledging with, he's saying, wow, I really perceive now that God's working even outside the people of Israel, that God's grace is out there helping people's hearts turn toward God. And he's saying that genuine fear of God disposes a person to receive what God wants to give them. Verse 36, you know the word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of all. So here's the essence now of what the apostles wanted to proclaim, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus said, all power, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. They're saying he's not simply a great religious teacher, a great philosopher, a political character in history. What he is he's God's son, and he's the Lord of all. Verse 37, the word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism which John had preached. That's the baptism of repentance, right? Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus promised the same would come to the apostles. What did the apostles see in Jesus? When he came forward from the waters of the Jordan, when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the Spirit began to guide Jesus. Jesus stood up in Nazareth days later and proclaimed, after reading the Torah portion from the prophet Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives and obtain sight for the blind. He said, today this reading is fulfilled in your hearing. I'm the one anointed by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus went forward in power. Peter continues. He said, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So the breaking forth of the kingdom and bringing down and disarming the principalities and powers of the dark kingdom of the enemy, Jesus was accomplishing it. Verse 39, and we are witnesses to all that he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up on the third day and made him manifest. Not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he had risen from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he's the one ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him and receives the forgiveness of sins through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. God has come in the person of Jesus to forgive sin, to make repentance possible, to allow people to enter into right relationship with God. And that comes through one person, through Jesus Christ, God's only Son, the only Savior of the world. And it's so clear in Peter's words here, verse 42, and Jesus commanded us. He commanded us to preach. That's why the church preaches to this day. To preach to the people and to testify that Jesus is the one ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. All of human history is in the hands of Jesus Christ. All power and authority belong to him. He will judge every human heart. And he's offering mercy to every human heart. And mercy in this moment is going forward to the Gentiles. Salvation is offered to the non-Jewish world. All the promises of the people of Israel are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and they're now being offered for the sake of salvation to Cornelius and his household and to all the people. We'll continue this story tomorrow, talking about what happens to Cornelius now and his household as they hear this presentation by Peter of the core message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is Lord. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.